13th, 1919. Esteemed mortal, they have never caught me, and they never will. They have never seen me, for I am invisible, even as the aether that surrounds your earth. I am not a human being, but a spirit and a demon from the hottest hell. I am what you Orleanians and your foolish police call the Axeman. When I see fit, I shall come and claim other victims. I alone know whom they shall be. I shall leave no clue except my bloody axe, besmeared with blood and brains of he whom I have sent below to keep me company. If you wish, you may tell the police to be careful not to rile me. Of course, I am a reasonable spirit. I take no offense at the way they have conducted their investigations in the past. In fact, they have been so utterly stupid as to not only amuse me, but His Satanic Majesty, Francis Joseph, etc. But tell them to beware. Let them not try to discover what I am, for it were better that they were never born than to incur the wrath of the Axeman. I don't think there is any need of such a warning, for I feel sure the police will always dodge me, as they have in the past. They are wise and know how to keep away from all harm. Undoubtedly, you Orleanians think of me as a most horrible murderer, which I am, but I could be much worse if I wanted to. If I wished, I could pay a visit to your city every night. At will, I could slay thousands of your best citizens, for I am in close relationship with the Angel of Death. Now, to be exact, at 12:15, earthly time, on next Tuesday night, I am going to pass over New Orleans. In my infinite mercy, I am going to make a little proposition to you people. Here it is. I am very fond of jazz music. And I swear by all the devils in the nether regions that every person shall be spared in whose home a jazz band is in full swing at the time I have just mentioned. If everyone has a jazz band going, well then, so much the better for you people. One thing is certain, and that is that some of your people do not jazz it on a Tuesday night. If there be any, we'll get the axe. Well, as I am cold and crave the warmth of my native Tartarus, it is about time I leave your earthly home. I will cease my discourse, hoping that thou wilt publish this, that it may go well with thee. I have been, am, and will be the worst spirit that ever existed, either in fact or realm of fancy. The Axeman.
Hanging out in Grandma's basement, having fun with all of our friends. You can't spell basement without men, and you gotta keep it down when she's going to bed. Yeah, hanging out in Grandma's basement.
All right.
Oh yeah.
Welcome to Grandma's basement, everybody.
Ooh, that's
I'm back.
Your voice. Hey, it's a familiar voice.
I'm back,
we got
hot
there.
In the mix.
Ooh, the original, the one, the only Dare Bear.
That's
has
true.
Recovered in about a month.
Welcome back.
About a month.
Yeah, I'm pretty back. Sure that's going to be when this episode comes out, roughly. So we welcome you back.
Hey, thanks.
Who here?
I'm great.
Who here misses this voice?
Oh, I know I do.
The guidance.
All right,
if
one,
you will.
That's it's, one person, it's, so it's I'll like, take that.
It's
take
like
what I can get.
Trying to eat toast without any butter, not having Derek here.
I know.
You just can't do it.
Because the butter.
What about
just add so
does
much
peanut
love.
Butter count?
Well,
I love peanut butter, so yes.
All right, then I'm sold.
But someone who eats toast without butter, probably a serial killer.
Probably a serial killer.
Yeah,
probably
a terrorist.
All right, so moving on. In case you didn't know, we are talking about serial killers.
Oh, I thought I was terrible at segues.
No, I'm the worst at segues because I'm socially awkward.
Kind of like a
Bill's
serial killer.
Hey, yeah. Yeah, no. CJ,
I'm
guess what?
Again.
You would make a serial
killer. I actually have a serial killer name.
Okay.
Charles Jarrett.
Yeah.
If I went by my full name, that would be like straight up serial killer, would it not? If I was just like
Charles, or even Jared, just Charles J.
Call me Charles Jared. No, Charles J. That's
too,
like,
cool.
That's really? Too cool. Yeah, Charles I'm J. Charles J. Charles J. I wear sunglasses and a leather coat and drive a moped because I think I'm cool, but I'm not.
All right. So, if I were a serial killer, I would kill that guy.
And for sure. He would deserve it. I wouldn't alternate me. Right. Would deserve to get ended.
I wouldn't need to be a serial killer to kill that guy. I would just outright kill him.
Anyone right, could right. kill him. And you know what? The police wouldn't investigate it. He'd be one of the last dead.
They're like, we don't even know who this guy is. So,
but he deserved it.
Why are we talking about serial killers?
Well,
it's a good idea.
For anyone who started this episode, I believe they heard a little monologue, if you will, from actually kind of the topic of serial killers that we based this episode off of, which was indeed the Axeman, which I was honestly not that familiar with, excuse me, until that episode of American Horror Story or whatnot. So he doesn't seem well known.
No, and I think most people who watched American Horror Story, and that was in season 3, which is American Horror Story Coven, few people know he's a real guy. And that letter that they read on, I believe the episode was called Axeman Cometh, and that letter he read was a letter he actually sent in to police. And there were some killings possibly linked to him, starting in 1911, but the confirmed killings were in 1918. It was fucking crazy, seriously. He chiseled out segments of people's doors, crawled through it, killed the people, and left only his axe. The strangest part is everyone who survived, which was 6 to 7 people, it's 1918, so records are fucking shitty.
Well, records were terrible back then because they weren't bright.
But everyone who survived claimed they saw a big man. Like, picture me with muscle. That.
Okay.
How could they
crawl through?
A really
tall redhead with lots of muscle.
What the fuck? I don't have red hair.
Well, nobody knows what
you're really
talking.
Tall.
Nobody
brown
really knows
hair.
What you look like, though. So you,
yeah,
we don't care what you look. We get it. You're a bigger man.
I look like Hitler. I have a Hitler mustache.
So people would see a big man crawl through a hole.
Fuck,
a hole about this size. You can't see what I'm doing, but it's probably about
square foot.
Square foot. Yeah, about a square foot. This story to me is really compelling. Obviously, just before we started this conversation, it's clearly just some psychopathic person who thought that they were a demon and had to kill people this way, and they could have even been a fucking contortionist, who knows. But it's really compelling to me as a horror author to look at this in the way that, what if it was an actual demon? And that's why he could
actual
slip through
demons.
This fucking square foot chiseled thing, kill people with an axe, even though he is a big man, and escape and never be caught.
And how did he chisel a hole in their door without anyone hearing it or knowing?
Exactly. There's not much information on this.
I mean, that's
but
just
this
weird.
Was really hard for me to research. Even though I knew the basic story behind this, the information behind this, other than the confirmed victims, all of whom, by the way, are Italian grocers, which is a really weird group of people
it's
to target.
Super specific.
Yeah, it's
like
really
super
specific. Yeah.
So why would demons go after...
Well, do you guys think that maybe that aspect of it, you know, I feel like it might be one of those things where if the killer themselves or somebody who is posing as the killer, given the times, I mean, people are gullible in general, but granted, back then, they did not have access to information like we do. I'm pretty sure a majority of the population still was unable to read, write, comprehend language. All it would take is one letter plus the word of mouth, and rumors would explode.
Right.
So, I mean,
it's like a mythology that
right,
is created.
Right, and yes. Given the facts, clearly something really fucked up is going on here. Something unexplainable, supernatural even, is possibly happening, but... You know, everybody describes them as the same way. Is that because that's what they've seen, or is that given the information at the time?
It could be due to bias at the beginning, because you've heard the other reports about the Axeman. Suddenly your husband, because it was generally a husband who was killed first, suddenly your husband has an axe in his head, and you're going to automatically go to a spot where you see a big man. So that's the 100% possibility. In addition to this, there's a theory that the Axeman in New Orleans was actually Jack the Ripper, because that person could have still been alive at that point in time. The Whitechapel murders were the 1880s or 90s. I don't know specifically. So that could be the same killer.
Well, world travel has been a thing for a very long time now. And, I mean,
wouldn't that have been 20 years or something like that?
Something
between them?
Something like that. The Whitechapel murders were probably committed by a doctor, is what's considered.
I'm not familiar with this one.
Jack the Ripper. It's not in the Jack notes. The Ripper,
maybe you've heard of him.
Jack the Ripper of the Ripper Dynasty?
The Ripper. Not Jack the Smacker.
At this point in time of 1918, New Orleans was a very major port. It was for a lot of American history. It was the port. What better place to blend in? Even better than London at the time. If you were a sociopathic, brutal killer. Than New Orleans. And that is also probably why this person was never caught. Because no one has any idea who this was. There's some talk of a man named Mumphrey, but that is very circumstantial. No one will ever know who committed these murders, who wrote that letter.
Well, I mean, I would have to say that, you know, given the forensic, non-existent techniques that, you know, that we have today, early 1900s, committing a murder and getting away with it would be as easy as doing it and then just walking away. I mean, if you have even a shaky alibi, I mean, hell, the cops, we don't know. You pass them a few notes
unless
and they'll let you
like
go.
A
I mean,
of witnesses.
Right, unless somebody sees you do it. Hey, no, I was down at the lake by myself fishing. Well, that's something that he does. I mean, it's...
Right, but even so, I mean, we're talking about how long ago. Even now, we have...
Oh, no. I forget the exact statistics. First, I'm going to address what you said. I forget the exact statistics. FBI says there's probably about 12 serial killers active in the United States at any given time. The majority of those, given the paradigm of serial killers up until this point, are probably traveling in trucks along America's interstate system, killing people who are known as the last dead, people we don't miss.
Right.
Second point, my personal theory about the Axeman, and this is just kind of a... I listened to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History about World War One recently.
Oh, yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah, it was an amazing episode, amazing series of episodes. But if... You know, given the year of 1918, American veterans were returning home around that point in time.
Right.
What if there was a WASPy veteran, so someone who's white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, mm-hmm. who had been shell-shocked, post-traumatic stress disorder, completely warped by this horrifying
Loved jazz,
and decided Italians did not belong in this country. Because that was the thing in 1918. Yes. And decided he was going to take care of the problem, and he was also going to promote jazz at the same time. Because that's another
strange
thing. This series of murders and that letter that we heard as the introduction, that threat increased the popularity of jazz, which was a new form of music at this point in time, created by Buddy Bolden. Really interesting side story. I'm just going to mention it. He was a blues musician who actually ended up developing what is probably schizophrenia and thus created jazz because the schizophrenia caused him to improvise. Really fun, crazy story, but just going to reference it.
I would like to. The irony, though, behind mental illness creating something, reaching out and really quite drastically touching another, you know, mental illness. I mean, that... I think it goes to say that it's like there's got to be something, a connection there. You know, the music itself, if it's created from that place, well, I mean, yeah, it would make sense in that it would speak very deeply to somebody who's in the same place.
So jazz is the most brutal music There is.
You could say that back then, jazz was killer.
But I mean, if you think about it, jazz precipitated rock and roll, precipitated heavy metal.
Oh, yeah.
It's this form of improvisation which existed much earlier in human music, and we got rid of it because we decided to formalize it, because that was a period of time in which formalization existed, and it became this thing which was, each time we're going to do it a little bit different. And that played into probably what the Axeman was thinking. It also comes up with what he was calling himself. He called himself the Axeman. Well, at that time, someone who plays saxophone, Saxman. So there is this deep-rooted relationship with jazz, which, as Evan said, I think that's a really good point. It didn't occur to me. I really wish it did, because that's a wonderful point, that the inherent mental instability of jazz music would play into the post-traumatic stress disorder, or even stress-induced schizophrenia, which is a thing, could have caused this man to decide that these people needed to die. And we will never know who this person is. And if it was some, there's a theory that it's someone who just wanted to promote jazz, and then he was done. And that was it.
That would be weird.
I wish I could find a promoter who works that hard.
It's like, if your record ain't selling, kid, I'm just going to kill some people.
Well, I mean, speaking of the South, speaking of jazz, I mean, in Louisiana, another really crazy serial killer that just not many people know about but really should is Henry Lee Lucas. He was born in 1936 in a one-room shack to a poor family in Virginia, which is obviously not a great upbringing. He had one half-brother and seven... Well, he had one full brother and seven half-brothers, and his mother was a prostitute, of all things, and insisted on having sex in front of him and his father, who had no legs, and his mom would push in a cart in the corner and forced to watch. This is probably the most fucked up thing.
This is how you create a serial killer.
Yeah, this is...
His father would sit in the corner and have to watch with no legs?
With no legs.
Mother would...
Hey, Derek,
no
Derek.
Legs.
Okay. Derek, no. Father has no legs.
His father got drunk. Okay. This is what they think happened. Again, 1936, not great records. They think his father got drunk, fell asleep on some railroad tracks. Train ran over him. There go your legs. His nickname was actually No Legs Lucas.
Well, that's disingenuous. Wow.
So this all happened in their one-bedroom shack.
In their one-bedroom shack. Both of them were forced to watch her take Johns and have sex with them. His brother stabbed him in the eye, so he had this janky-ass eye that they left untreated. It got infected. He had a seventh-grade education. He has an IQ around 70. This is not a genius.
I feel like there's so much going on there, though, that it'd be really hard to actually pinpoint what tipped that scale.
Well, I mean, he was probably also naturally born with sociopathic tendencies, especially given with the way his mother behaved, and not caring about other people's emotions.
That's fucking nuts.
Oh, yeah. And
is he like an old-day Fetty Wap?
Yeah, exactly. He ended up like no. He went through school. No, this he actually is like a 1936 Fetty Wap.
Hey, hold up! I don't know what a Fetty Wap is.
A rapper with one eye.
No, yeah. I know it's a rapper, but what is it?
It's someone with just a hole. Because when he was a kid, the eye was left untreated. It rotted, turned white. Eventually, he just had a hole for his left eye, and eventually, I don't know how he could afford this. He got a glass eye. Because he was a drifter his whole life.
So again, education of a seventh grader or 7-year-old?
Oh, he killed his mom too?
Yeah, he killed his mom. He stabbed her in a drunken argument.
I mean, for what it's worth, she was kind of fucking bitch.
Yeah.
No, his mom. Okay.
Come on, jeez.
Maybe she deserved it a little bit.
No, she totally deserved it. If anyone deserved to die, it's her. I'm sorry. Like, that's probably a little bit of an unpopular opinion. Right. But...
No, I mean, grandma just passed, so I just wanted to say I'm over it.
Oh, her police report says she died of a heart attack.
What?
Yep. Even though she was stabbed in the neck. They're like, oh, this is...
No, he never went to jail for that.
It's as far as
I remember. He was in and out of prison throughout the 70s. He was a drifter. He once stated, "I don't like live sex. I like dead sex." That's actually how it sounded. I've listened to an interview with him.
He likes dead sex.
I mean, he is from the South.
He would kill
for the accent, not having sex with dead bodies.
Of course
Jesus.
Not. The people in the South don't ever, never, ever do that.
But here's the most important thing.
I don't know.
He was labeled during an attempt through rehabilitation. Psychologists labeled him as an attention seeker and a liar. This is really important because eventually he would be taking responsibility for about 3,000 murders. That is insane, given that in America, our greatest serial killer has killed nowhere near 100.
Who is that?
I don't know. I think it was probably...
There is like a top 100
I think it's the Green River Killer. Let me...
I'll find it for you. You keep doing your thing.
Okay. But he was married at one point. He molested his stepdaughters for 2 years. Until finally one of them stood up to him, he just fucking disappeared. This is the kind of piece of shit this guy was. I can't clarify
Ridgeway.
That enough. Yeah, Gary Ridgway, Green River right. Killer. Wow, I know way too much about these people.
It's okay. That's why we think you're a silly.
Takes one to no one.
Charles Jared Lane. That's a serial killer name right there. Anyways, as soon as he disappeared from his family, his first wife was named Becky. She was an old family friend. No idea why the fuck she thought Mr. One Eye motherfucker was a good person to marry, but she did. He
was gay too, and, wasn't he though?
No, Otis Toole was gay.
Oh, okay.
So the guy he ended up teaming up with was gay. And they would have apparently gay oral sex, but no, Henry Lee Lucas would never call himself gay. Maybe a little bit, I don't know. But he ended up
10% gay.
10% gay, maybe.
That would be
somewhere
wrong.
Somewhere on the Kinsey scale.
That's what he would say.
He ended up moving to West Virginia because of fucking course he moved to West Virginia. Where else do you run if you're a serial killer but West Virginia? And he married
New State slogan.
Exactly.
There you go.
And where do you go when you're a serial killer? Come to West Virginia.
That's actually Seattle because they have a lot of serial killers there. Or Washington. And he ended up marrying a woman named Rhonda Knuckles. What the fuck? Rhonda Knuckles?
Sounds like a video game character.
The original UFC fighter.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
No shit.
My name's Rhonda Knuckles. Seriously, what kind of name is Rhonda?
She kept him
Knuckles.
In line, though. It sounds like because
she didn't.
She's live, though.
Well, yeah, but because he threatened to kill her at one point because she wanted to leave him. He tortured her, imprisoned her for about 3 days, if I remember correctly. Her friend showed up. She ran out the front door because of motherfucking course. She ran out the front door, and she went to her family because, again, West Virginia families are tight. Her family showed up armed with shotguns. Again, West Virginia.
This is also weird. Like, you don't call the cops, you just go there.
No, yeah, this is starting to remind me how my girlfriend and I met.
But he told her family, no, she tried to kill me. And they believed him because this guy, despite being Forrest Gump, level IQ, and a piece of shit, he learned to compensate by lying. He was a world-class liar. And that can't be understated because these people, these fucking pieces of shit, every single serial killer is a piece of shit and should be. I don't agree with capital punishment, but these people should be ended. Or just locked in a little box. I'm sorry, that's a really unpopular opinion, but having looked into this, these people are...
I mean,
they
have
a glitch.
If you can,
well, okay, let's
go. No,
let's talk about this. How do you deal with a person who is not only mentally unstable, they have personality disorders out the yin yang that you, I mean, you can't control that without heavy medication because you're, I mean, like bipolar, you go from happy to angry in a split second. what if that anger is murderous, and what if you're not even angry? I mean, that it just seems to me like he's got a very good point that these people need to be handled in some way.
I mean, and politically, I don't agree with this point. But what are you going to do when we have people like Bundy, when we have people like Dahmer? That's actually a very real question I think we have to face. Because a lot of these people...
At one point, you just accept the fact that that's going to happen in this world. And,
okay, that's what I... I'm playing devil's advocate.
Then we need to plan for it, though.
What do you do? I mean...
Take him out back behind the woodshed with a shotgun. Dahmer's always going to kill people, no matter what you do.
Punishment to fit the crime.
But the thing about, like, some serial killers, and it even plays into terrorism, but it's like... They don't know right from wrong, so that's mental disorder.
I don't think I agree with you.
I don't.
I think they know. Otherwise, they would openly do it and be like, "Hey,
actually, he's right. These people have psychopathy or psychopathy. I prefer to be a fuck and pronounce it psychopathy, which is the accurate pronunciation. They don't know right from wrong. They don't have emotion. They see us." As objects is actually what the base of the disorder is.
No empathy.
But
none.
But what I'm saying is they know that our society does have rules.
Yeah, they would.
And they know
that
they do know how to play the rules.
Right. Well, playing into the being a good liar, one of the key like signs or a symptom of being this unempathetic, you know. Like psychotic person is that in a social situation, very good at faking it, very good at making it seem like they're your friend, very good at making it seem like they know what they're doing, and then next thing you know, they're killing a small animal and it's not a thing.
Sure.
I mean, that having done a little bit of research in that, because I'm actually quite interested in the human psychology of, you know, serial killers, because it deals with being a very empathetic person. I find it really hard to understand no empathy at all.
Yeah.
Right. Like, literally being like, I am the only thing that exists. Reality is mine. That's some mind-blowing.
And I can
that's crazy.
Just affect my world and feel that I'm not going to have any repercussion from it.
Right.
Exactly. You are a god.
Right.
Right. You have effect, but nothing affects you. I mean, it's really just... Wrong.
Right.
I mean, and it's wrong, but at the same time, no matter how fucked up it is to say, I'm just going to be Mr. Unpopular Opinion today, to reference my favorite podcast,
New sponsor.
Well, no, okay.
Sponsored by another podcast.
Yeah, we are sponsored by Adam Todd Brown and Unpopular Opinion.
And LegalZoom.
We're probably going to edit this out, but fuck it. Anyways, psychopaths actually see things as they really are, because that is the way things really are. You can play people. You can do what Henry Lee Lucas does if you really want, if you are not human.
Right.
That's the thing. These people they lack something that makes the rest of us human, and that is empathy.
Well, that's what I mean. Right. So, like, if a person that's not a serial killer, or even if they were, but like they don't have some of these like crazy traits, say they just killed someone and then they get caught and they are like, they apologize and they're like, of course, maybe they actually do, they have to sit in prison and like think about what they've done and they do regret it, but like,
well,
you know,
you,
what you were
how
saying
do you prove well, regret
well, what I'm saying though is like, I think some of these guys that are like, probably some women that are like these really, really fucked up serial killers. Like, there's no way that they would do it again in a heartbeat if they got out, you know, and they had the chance. And that's the thing is like, maybe some people that have killed people, you know,
you see it in the news
regret
all the
it,
time.
You know?
Some guy got released from prison for 25 years. He's back in 2 weeks later because he went home and shot his mom.
No, because you
right.
And that's a different
kind of person.
No. And that's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
But that is neither here nor there. It's a really fucked up opinion I have, and there's no way to prove it. I don't think it should actually be enacted, but there's some people, specifically serial killers and pedophiles, who will always do this because they have a defect. And I'm not saying we should cleanse that defect, but these people should not necessarily be allowed to interact with everyday people, because they're going to kill, and they're going to molest, and they're going to rape. It's going to happen.
And when some of these people go to jail, though, they end up like, granted, their crimes are horrific and disgusting, but then they end up suing wherever they're at because they think they're in inhumane conditions, and they win constantly.
Well, but the thing
the guy
is,
from Norway who killed all the kids, was it Norway or Iceland?
I think it's Norway.
Norway, yeah. He just sued the government over inhumane treatment for keeping him in solitary 23 hours a day, giving him absolutely nothing that he claims, but he had like a TV and all this other stuff in there, but he sued him and won a bunch of money, and now I mean there's a lot of human rights things that people bring into that whole discussion.
Yeah, and I actually, to clarify, I am playing devil's advocate. That is an opinion I have, but I don't necessarily think it should be enacted because there's no way to filter it into that.
I agree with
that. But I think our prison system should be like Norway's. But speaking of really like the fucked up nature of the United States prison system and coming down to the base of the fact that we elect sheriffs, which is, that's stupid.
That is.
It's so wrong because Henry Lee Lucas, despite having an extremely low IQ, I will reiterate that, because killers who can kill a lot of people, Ted Bundy and Jeffrey Dahmer, are geniuses.
Yeah. And that that really tall guy that's like 6'8", do you remember his name? I'd have to look him up.
Yeah, but Henry Lee Lucas has confessed to over 3,000 murders. Actually, he's dead, so he had confessed to over 3,000 murders. But the majority of these are obviously thought to be false. But police utilize these confessions to close cases so that they would have no outstanding cold cases in their jurisdiction.
Of course. Wow.
Yeah. Thus ensuring that the sheriffs are going to be reelected and preventing the public of being scared because the real killer is out there.
You know, police, though, all right, we need to look at the fact that we just acknowledged that this is a spectral disorder, all right? You're either at the low end or the high end, and then you're at a higher risk. Yes? Okay. Now let's look at the fact that the police like to hire people, you know, the people to serve and protect us, at the lower end of that spectrum. Let's give those guys guns. I mean, what is to keep somebody who is at the high end of that spectrum, who is also, you know, the tendency to be a serial killer, is going to look at this as an opportunity. If I play dumb, I get to legally walk around with a gun in my hand. And, I mean, it's to me one of those things that's like, you know, you're either abused at a young age / born with it, right, to become a serial killer, or maybe there's a point in your life where you're not quite there yet, but then this golden opportunity arises. I mean, I don't know. It just seems to me like it's one of those things where we need to really look at education, because rehabilitation at some points isn't going to be enough. It's one of those things that needs to be right away.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree entirely with this. But along those same lines, sorry to interrupt you, Derek.
That's okay.
Along those same lines, there was actually a serial killer who hung out with cops. His name was Ed Kemper. If you're interested,
that's who I was just talking about.
Look at it. Ed Kemper is fucking crazy. I wish we had enough time to talk about
this
as well.
I wanted, as the guy was saying, he's like 6'9", and he's 300 pounds, and he had an IQ of like super high IQ.
He called himself a bumble butt, though, because he was so fucking clumsy. And he got a badge from the cops, actually.
Yeah,
it's fucking crazy. Like it plays into the same thing, because at the end of the day, because of Henry Lee Lucas, there was a task force within the Texas Rangers called the Henry Lee Lucas Task Force, because of course it was. It was at one point visited by 1,000 officers from other jurisdictions. They even flew him in a private jet to California at one point. He was given the police reports for the crimes ahead of talking to the local police department. So he knew. And they were saying, oh, he knows all the information about this case. He fucking read it. Because even though he was an idiot, He knew how to play people. That's the one skill he developed in his life. And because of him, there are 214 cases that were permanently closed that he probably didn't kill those people. And those people will never, the real killers, 214 of them, will never be caught. Because this man lied to get cigarettes and coffee, too. That's what it was. They withheld cigarettes and coffee from him until he started talking. And as soon as you do that, as soon as you promise to give him, like, they give him cases of cigarettes.
Because he was giving them names.
Sounds like they're withholding, like, an old Jewish lady's morning coffee and cigarettes.
Yeah, exactly. They're withholding
him. I mean, that seems like, well, it seems like such trivial things to just be like, I need my nicotine and caffeine. And then,
you need them.
Do what he did over those.
He would, but he didn't. What did he have to lose? He was probably proud of it at some point.
Oh, no, he was out of life in prison.
Right.
Because he killed. Okay. He was living in a chicken coop. We haven't been over this. We're just going to gloss over it. He was living in a religious commune in a chicken coop, killed his 15-year-old girlfriend, killed the woman who reported him to police for killing his 15-year-old girlfriend, spread the ashes in the chicken coop at the religious Christian commune he was living in, was tried for the murder, on the stand said, I've killed so many more people, and then promptly proceeded to confess to a lot more. It's just so fucked up. There's no way we can come to it. He claimed to be part of a group of assassins called the Hand of Death, which is clearly made up. He was even recorded coaching over the phone Otis Tool, his like dream team serial killer buddy, about what to say about this group of serial killers. He claimed that this is the fucking craziest story. And we're ripping off Last Podcast on the Left. So anyone who's ever heard it and listening to this, I'm sorry. This is the only place I got the information from. But this is just a retelling of the story. We're not ripping them off necessarily. Anyways, training camp in Everglades, where this group of high-class assassins trains from 60 countries across the world. He picks up a random throwing knife. This is his fucking story, too. Picks up a throwing knife, throws it, hits a pole 40 feet away. So they decide to, on his first day, have him train people in knife skills. And it's like the story where he makes himself Neo in the Matrix, where he's the chosen one.
Yeah, he's a lot
arrogant.
No, the liar that can't stop.
Yeah, he's a pathological liar.
So in his head, or he makes people think that this is real.
Yeah, I mean, but at a certain point, he believes it, and this is the most fucked up thing. And no one knows it. The fact that, I mean, and again, just like with the Axeman, have some fun, roll up a doobie, consider that this is true for a night, and you're just gonna fucking freak out because it could be. It's not. Obviously, this guy is full of shit, and it's not. But
we don't know.
Maybe, you don't know. This kind of thing, I mean, because it's the fucking Everglades. Who the fuck knows? Like, no one goes there.
Well, again, it plays into some of these things could just be mythological.
Well, I mean, they are. I believe that they are. But as a horror writer, I have a world inside my head that is so fucked up. That I like to play out because it makes me happy.
The real world is actually super fucked up.
Oh, no,
so
it is.
I don't put it past it whatsoever.
But here's what,
I want to ask you guys some opinions on, like, if you go to Wikipedia and look at just, like, the top list of serial killers, for example.
Yeah.
It takes a little while to get down to the U.S., and most of these people at the top live in, like, the first three are from Colombia.
Yeah.
And most of them killed their child murderers and child rapists, and they've killed like confirmed hundreds, you know, victims or whatever.
Well, you look at a lawless country where, you know, given what we've talked about, right? This kid being, you know, mom is like, hey, watch me have sex with these guys. You grow up in a place where drug money is the only money and people are just out in the streets with guns and knives. I mean, That's a breeding ground for just psychological disorders and just absolute cognitive dissonance within a societal systemic problem. I mean, it would be almost, I don't know, It just seems to me like those places are the perfect places for these people to go and thrive.
If you think about like what we think of our serial killers that we've been talking about, let one of them loose in a country like that.
Yeah, it would be like, terrible.
It's a fucking playground.
I guess I was thinking maybe these guys were like men of power that would just be like, bring me my boy, you know, but it sounds like he would just walk down the street and be like, hey, kid, come here. I have some money. You want to go on a walk? And then he would do this over and over again.
Serial killing, man. Just first kid you see, he'll do it.
So I have
147 times, though? So, it's nuts.
So serial killers. Hard would,
you could probably do that in one day if you were feeling ambitious.
So serial killers.
I'm not trying to make light of it.
I mean, that's kind of funny.
Realistically.
Serial killers kill multiple people, right? Would you consider genocide, somebody who acts out genocide, would be a serial killer?
No. It's a very good question, but a serial killer is someone who, the definition is, kills three or more people over a period of time with a cooling off period in between. Because with the cyclical method of killing, because genocide is also different psychologically why you're committing it, because you don't think of the people as people. Because it's just like if you're a Nazi, you consider Jews to be creatures. Now,
just another animal. Basically.
Just another animal. And you have the right, as a human being, as an actual conscious being, to exterminate them. And it's the most fucked up train of thought that we should not even get into right now.
Well, I feel like they must come from similar places. I mean, a person that draws the conclusion that you are not equal is really no different than that person that says, well, these people are not equal, so you go kill them.
Right. Yeah,
somebody that's abused by a certain, say, type of person, that they come back and that's...
Well, that's like, certain. I mean, that's certainly
even like countrywide.
Well, we look at Hitler, and he just
let's not look at him.
Well, okay, but just for the example that
mustache.
We're given, he
in fashion.
At the time, it was a political thing to blame the Jews. He necessarily didn't. I mean, he had more problems with the French on a personal level, which is why he fucked the French.
Well, who doesn't?
Vive la France!
But for Germany's sake. The Jews were kind of the fall guys, whereas you know when you have a serial killer, if it's something like that where they have this specific type of person in mind, there's either a sexual drive or there's a longing for a completion of an event that happened earlier on.
Egotistical drive as well.
Oh, certainly. If you simply think you're better than a certain type of people, and you within your own power can go out and kill those people, that happens. I mean, we look at who we've already been talking about. The specificity of Italian grocers is just, I mean, ludicrous in my mind. I mean, like, what the hell did they ever do to you?
Yeah.
I mean,
they did not
short,
give him the salami.
They didn't bag my groceries right. They all deserve to die.
Very, very good points, both of you. Because when it comes down to the basics of the paradigm of both genocide and serial killing, generally serial killers are psychopathic. As a psychopath... you view people as not being people, which is the same thing that the government propaganda in genocide indoctrinates within you.
Exactly.
So they do have a very close relationship, just like a certain person we have here has with a famous Wisconsin serial killer.
Oh,
I
no.
Do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who is this? Who is this on the mic right now?
It's about the fourth or fifth branch of the family tree. A little bit out there, you know. But Mr. Jeffrey Dahmer himself, Mr. Broomstick in the butt.
Yeah. So, Bill. Bill, word on the street is that you might be related to this late cool guy.
Oh yeah. As I just stated, it's a bit down.
Fourth cousin.
It's down. It's.
Does anybody remember when all this happened?
It's marriage.
It was in the 80s, mid to late 80s. Actually, 92, right, is when he was arrested.
I believe it was.
Did you say mid to late 80s?
It's when he was killing. Yes. 92 is when he was arrested. But
he didn't get killed before.
No, he got killed in the mid-90s.
Yeah, he was in there a couple years.
Yeah, he was in there for about a decade. Right.
He was attacked in the shower.
Yep.
So, assuming anyone who might be listening to this probably knows who we are, right? He was famous for, well, first, Wisconsin has so many.
So many. I mean,
is it so many?
He died in 94, by the way.
We've had, I think, the most for the states, but we certainly aren't like a majority.
Right.
I think California and Washington have more.
But no, I was just trying to think, you know, we got Giga, well, we got Don.
By population.
Yeah, higher density of
Kent,
people.
I have one problem with the name you just said. Gein was not a serial killer.
He only killed like two people,
that's
right?
True.
Yeah.
He was a grave robber.
Grave robber and a necrophiliac.
But they always group him into the serial killer group.
Because he was disturbed in
anyone.
The same way.
Yes.
I thought he killed at least.
Do you know what Gein is famously quoted as saying? Necrophilia. Crack open a cold one.
He actually said that?
Oh, and so that's pretty sweet. Kent knows this, but on the Gein subject,
still a good one though.
Gein was put into Mendota Mental Institution, and band that Kent and I were in. Our drummer, his stepdad was actually Gein's nurse.
Well, that's a
fun
connection.
At the institute, and he said he was just the nicest guy. He could sit there and have conversations with him, and he was just super intelligent.
He's some really whacked out old dude.
Oh, no. He's like me if I had a more fucked up childhood. Like, that's the thing. If I had, more fucked up of a childhood, I'd be one of these people. That is one thing.
Let's get a time machine and see what we can do.
Dude, I was just like, Dahmer would...
Marty, we gotta go back and make CJ a serial killer.
Oh, yeah!
Could you imagine, finding all of the Polaroids that Dahmer would take? Because there's all these, like, he'd pose his victims and stuff. Like,
new material for the spank bank.
by the way, on the subject of Dahmer, I was just listening to some stuff today. There's a lot of people who are saying he probably was lying about eating people because Silence of the Lambs came out a couple years earlier. And some psychologists are saying that he was probably keeping those body parts just to wank off with.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Kind of hard if it's frozen, though.
But you just put it in the microwave, cut a little hole in it, and there you go.
That's awful.
Microwave it.
Thanks, Bill, for bringing that love to us.
Defrost it. Five hours in the sink.
The last
good. Again, speaking of things that need to be defrosted, what about queso that was put in the freezer?
Oh, what a great segue. But hold on.
Okay, you just edit that out. I'm trying to
segue after that. I just want to quick mention Albert Fish because
go ahead.
He also wrote the letters to his victims' families or whatever about their daughter. They use it in Number 12 Looks Like You song. It's really creepy, but
what's the name of that song for our dedicated listeners to hear?
I don't know.
Well, that's too bad because I'm sure they'd really enjoy it.
I'm sure all of
there's
them
this thing though where yeah. He is the guy he was sitting down and I guess he was complaining of like pain and finally they sent him to have an x-ray and they saw that he had 24 needles shoved in his like pelvis and like his perineum.
They're just
sitting in there and, like you can see like the picture of the x-ray he just would walk around with these needles shoved in him for pleasure.
Like sadomasochism.
That is intense. Yeah.
Dude,
this guy is. If you read about this guy,
he's level.
He is pretty fucking creepy with kids and stuff, and eating them.
That starts to like. That starts to border on some like Hellraiser kind of shit.
Oh yeah,
pain is pleasure, and there is no actual line between the two. Like
this guy, holy shit! And in all actuality, I think that there should probably be a second one of these serial killer episodes. I'm obviously not in charge, so you know if that
no,
doesn't
we could,
happen.
I mean, we definitely have. We barely even touched.
We'll consider
the tip of
a follow up next season. Thanks for the input,
CJ. I guess though we could take a break and think about cheese, and then come back with
it. Hey, you know what?
My segue was not the worst segue.
That's right.
In fact, it's not going to be as bad as this one. Hey, everybody. We like serial killers, and we like cheese. Here's a word from our sponsor.
Kent's Queso. Made in the rolling hills of the Agave Desert, Kent's Queso is made with only the finest bovine and goat milks available. When combined, they create a smooth, full-bodied flavor with a creamy texture. Pairs well with wine, crackers, or even just on its own. Kent's Queso.
Made by me, Kent.
And now, time for America's Next Top Serial Killer with our resident host, serial killer himself, Charles Jared.
Hey, guys. How's it going? You know, America had a Next Top Model. Well, it's time to have something a little bit more gruesome. Here's the contestants for America's Next Top Serial Killer. Let's start off with Bill to my left. Okay, Bill, we got our first question of the night for you.
Yep.
What persona and name would you choose for your serial killer? Now, are you going to be a charmer like Bundy? Are you going to be a creep like Dahmer? A clown like Gacy? Or batshit crazy like Ted Cruz? I mean, the Zodiac Killer.
Well, you know, kind of just I'd like to be a hybrid, if you will. I'd like to be charming, yet... still psychotic, just a little bit, that's what I want to be.
Well, how do you balance those two?
Well, I say a lot of fancy lines to the ladies, certain ladies, but my lawyer says I'm not supposed to talk about that yet.
Well, what do you mean by yet?
We currently have some things pending.
Well, that sounds like a thing. So what would you call yourself if you murdered those fine young ladies?
Well, if I murdered them, I guess it's minus two toes because I cut two toes off all the overweight strippers that I murder.
Okay, well, moving on to our next contestant. This is Derek. So, Derek, what persona and name are you going to go by?
Well, you see, I actually go with the charming route. You see, I'm going to be a lifeguard. So, I actually got my name from an earlier podcast from last season. So, my name is the Flaccid Flopper.
I don't like it.
Okay, well, what kind of killer are you going to be? Are you going to be a charmer, a creep, or...
I am a charmer.
You're a charmer.
I just sit back with my sunglasses on, and nobody suspects anything from
it's
me.
Like your regular Elf.
So when they find out that you brutally murdered 14 ladies, they'll say, but that guy, he just seems so nice.
That's right. They think I'm saving them. So that's how it works.
So are there any more contestants?
There's two more contestants. Next, we have you, Kent.
Oh.
What would your persona and serial killer name be?
Well, I like cheese. So I think my persona would be the Queso Killer. And I would have charm because... kind of starts with CH like cheese.
I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Mr. Queso Killer, but you won't have charm. You're going to be the bad shit crazy killer of this competition.
All right.
How do you respond to that, Queso Killer?
Well, it's not easy being cheesy. That's how I respond to that.
Well, good to know. Next, we have our final contestant, Mr. Evan. Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, Mr. Whatever your last name is. I don't want to say it on this podcast. What would your persona and name be?
Well, I like dead bodies. I like lots of dead bodies, and frankly, they make me really horny. So, you know, I'd have sex with those dead bodies, and I'd make the dead bodies to have sex with them.
Anything else? So you, I mean, he's clearly the creep. Anything else to add to that, Mr. Creep? I mean, what would you call it? What would you name yourself? I mean, we have BTK, bind, torture, kill. Any fun acronyms?
Necrophiliac Ned, because I've always kind of liked the name Ned, because it rhymes with dead, and I like dead bodies.
I like that.
Would
it's
you
like
go
N-N.
By
N-N. That's cool.
Would you go by N squared?
No, that's stupid.
Well, good. You caught my first trick. Anyways, now that we have Necrophilia Ned, we have our full list of contestants. So here's the score for the first round. We've got Bill minus two toes coming in at a whopping minus two to fit his name.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to raise my voice. What? Oh. What?
Calm down, Mr. Minus Two Toes. We're just trying to fit you in with your theme.
I have less toes than everybody here, so I'm a little
two
uptight.
Two toes. Less than two toes. I forget your name.
We are not familiar.
I don't think the
don't
points
call
matter.
Me by my given serial killer name. I like
dead bodies.
Okay,
let's
well,
just
we're
chill
back.
Out, everybody.
We're hey, back you, to the lifeguard you killer. You've got... Six Rico. Points. I think it's good, but it's a little like that's... Ted Bundy on the beach. So you got to get a little bit more creative. Anyways, Kent the Queso Killer, you've got 9 points. I like your moxie. Great idea. Now,
all those
Necrophilia Ned, you got 10 points. Oh, very good. Damn. You come off like you might actually kill people. Anyways... We're up to question number two. What weapon or other method of killing would you use? Okay, we're going to start with you, Mr. Minus Two Toes.
Oh, well, you know those little shears you use to cut roses and everything? That's what I'm going to use first to cut off the toes. And then after that, I'm going to kind of stab him in the jugular vein with that and just bathe in the glory of the murder I'm doing at that time.
Okay.
That's my answer.
That's a good answer there, Mr. Minus Two Toes. Now we've got the lifeguard killer. I know you didn't come up with a name, but I like that one.
I actually did come up with a name. It was the Flaccid Flopper.
Oh, it was the Flaccid Flopper. I'm sorry for being a douche and ignoring what you say.
Don't ever question me again, man.
Anyway, now we have the Flaccid Flopper. Yeah, what weapon would you use?
Just questioning. It's like he said, I didn't have a name or something. anyway, yeah, so I... No, I'm...
He's innocent.
Okay. So, generally what I do is during Adult Swim, I just, you know, I get all the kids out of the pool and... When those fucking adults just don't get out of the goddamn pool when the kids want to swim. Mommy, I always said it was my turn to swim and you wouldn't let me in the pool. But, yeah, I just go in with my fun noodle and I just go in and pick it around their neck because they need help getting out of the pool. And, you know, just real cool, though. I'm a cool customer. You know, hey.
Okay, well, that sounds like a full story that the nightmares are made from. Now we got the Queso Killer.
So... corner my victim and see I own this fat and I fill it with cheeses and I boil it to such a degree and then I throw that incapacitated human down into that vat of cheeses and guess what? They become the cheese. They become the cheese.
Well, okay, buddy, now I got one big question for you. Do you eat that cheese?
No. No, I don't.
Are you sure you're not a Dahmer?
Yeah, I'm not.
Good to know. Anyways, now we're moving on to Necrophilia Ned. What way would you kill people?
Well, I like to look them in the eyes while they die. It's the most sensual thing that a man can experience watching as the life drains from their eyes. As I clutch them by the front of their shirt and stab them repeatedly in the gut so that I may copulate with that orifice later, using the blood as lube. Sometimes it isn't the stabbing that kills them. It's the thrusting.
Okay, well, I've got some scores ready for our eager contestants. We've got -2 toes with a whopping 8 points. You did pretty well in that one, buddy. You've got a total of 6.
Yay, I did something. Take that, mother.
Okay, good to know. Now we get the flaccid flopper. Hey. You did pretty well in that one again, buddy. Man. You've got 8 points to bring you to a total of 14.
Wow.
I think that's crap.
Hey, that's pretty good. All right.
Okay. Yeah, you are doing pretty good,
thanks,
buddy.
Man. Thanks.
Now we've got a
cool customer, yeah.
The queso killer. And, you know, I really enjoyed your method of killing, but I didn't think it was quite horrific enough because you didn't eat the cheese. So I'm only going to give you 6 points on this one. To a total of 15.
Yeah, get off the stage.
Okay, Necrophilia Ned, while I really, really enjoyed your method of killing, it seriously disturbed me. So I'm only going to give you 5 points because I come up with these points at random. So you're going to have a grand total of 15, bringing this into question number 3 at a nearly dead heat, except for you, Mr. -2 toes. You got to do well on this one.
This isn't Whose Line Is It Anyway? We need a dedicated point system.
This is a dedicated point system from my own head. And since I'm the most likely to be a serial killer in all reality, I have the most accurate point system.
Hey Mr. Announcer.
Why don't you just lay off him, man?
Your head's going to be on my mantle.
Okay, well, you're going to get -3 on this next one.
Okay. I haven't answered yet.
Well, like I said, arbitrary scores. Anyways, question number 3. What victims would you choose? Mr. -2 toes. What victim would you choose?
Oh, well, obviously I'm going after overweight strippers. I had a run-in one time, an overweight stripper. We were tripping on PCP together, and she cut off 2 of my toes and left me to die. But after the gangrene and the sepsis, I made a full recovery. And after that, I made it my life's goal to kill overweight strippers and cut off 2 of their toes is my calling card. And, if you've ever seen a piggy bank full of change, I got a big glass jar full of toes.
Good to know. You're getting -3 anyway. Sorry to spoil it for you guys at home. Now
you're
we got the flaccid flopper.
That's me, man. Yeah, I mean, I think I already told you that, you know, it's that Adult Swim thing. I mean, you know, I've got to get rid of those adults. Like, they're supposed to get out of the pool for the kids to play. I mean.
But how would you not get caught? That's my real question,
man. I'm saving their lives, and sometimes they just don't get saved.
Okay, well, I think that's a pretty good point there. So now we've got the queso killer.
Oh no! Repeat the question.
What victims would you kill? I believe you already went into this just a little bit.
Not necessarily. I mean, I would prefer if they consumed a lot of bacon. Because when I cheese boil them down, it tastes
like... No, that's...
Like,
it adds a very difficult process.
Bacon flavor, I mean... It's no Adult Swim, but it's bacon. I mean,
so you kill overweight people.
Well,
hey, he's not allowed to talk about that, and we don't know each other.
Well, it's okay for the purpose of this podcast because we will legally claim that you guys are just doing this for fun, despite the fact that I'm sitting with 4 of the most horrific serial killers in American history.
Legalsim.com.
Have you ever tasted bacon that, I mean, cheese that was bacon?
You know,
flavored?
No.
I mean,
well,
Jesus
they,
Christ.
They do
That's the point
it.
Of what I'm doing. Let's move on.
They call okay. It, they well, call it back fat.
That's a good way to get negative 3 points.
You know what? Who cares where that back fat comes from?
Okay, well, we're moving on to our next contestant, Necrophilia Ned.
If it has an orifice, I'll fuck it.
But would you kill it?
If it needs an orifice, I'll make it and then fuck it.
So what victims would you choose, my fucking disturbing friend?
Is it made out of flesh?
Is that your only qualifier?
That it is made out of flesh?
Yes, I thought you made that.
Well, we are going to move on to the next round. I am going to first say I'm giving Necrophilia Ned 10 points because fuck, I am scared of that guy. I feel like I might wake up to him right over my bedside about to kill me, so better give him the 4 points. Now we've got...
I think you said 10 points, but...
I said 10 points. That's 4 points.
Oh,
that's
I thought the most you said 4 points. Just
no. No, that's still better than you did, Queso Killer. You got 2 points because they're going to find the fat people because somebody cares about them. You got to go for the populations and no one cares about. So you have a total of 17 points.
Hey, that's pretty good, man.
Necrophilia Ned has 25. And now we get the Flaccid Flopper. My. You got 7 points, bringing to you to a grand total of 21. And now we've got the minus two toes killer. Yeah.
You know, I got like 50.
You got, like I said, minus three. So that brings you to a grand total of 3 points. You're lagging behind there, friend. You better get some extra credit in this round four.
Your body's going to be negative 3 degrees if you don't start giving me points.
Well, that sounds like a threat, but Necrophilia Ned, still more scary than you are. Anyways,
not
now we're moving
for
on.
Long.
Now we're moving on to round four, in which I ask you all individual questions. Since that guy's fucking disturbing, I am going to start
you.
With
oh,
you,
do me,
Flaccid Flopper.
Do me first.
Okay.
Do it.
You are killing a hitchhiker, and they run into the woods. What do you do?
First, I go over to Target, and then I get a kiddie pool. Then I fill it with water, put it in the woods. I throw them in it, get my fun noodle out, and then I strangle them.
Well, that's good to know. Now, would you prefer a different place in the woods to murder this hapless hitchhiker?
A pool. That's already built, and so then I can just get rid of that whole Target step.
Okay, well, we'll take that into consideration.
I don't like that it's not in the woods. I mean, if it was just right in the pool, hey, right off the bat, I would have preferred
settle,
that. Why can't we just go right? Why can't
settle,
we just go?
Okay,
down,
okay,
settle
okay.
Down, settle down.
So we'll settle change down. That question for you to fit your serial killer persona.
Thanks, man.
Let's say you're killing someone in the pool, and they jump up out of that water, run into the changing room. What
I'm gonna save them. I'm throwing them in the pool. I'm saving their life. I'm putting that fun noodle around their neck.
It's a lifesaver. It's a lifesaver.
Okay, cool. Once again, we're skipping minus two toes for a little bit because holy shit, we're going to go to Queso Killer. Now, your question is, you have a body in the trunk and the police pull you over. What do you do?
It's product for my next recipe.
Anything
my next,
else?
I'm not done yet, sir. Host of this show. People need cheese. Just like this cop that pulled me over. I tell him I'm gonna make cheese out of this already dead body. I picked it up off the street. It's nature. I didn't kill it. I'm gonna cheese it. Cheez-Its! Brought to you by Cheez-It.
Good to know. I'm never buying cheese from you. Anyways, now we got Necrophilia Ned. Your question is, you are driving in the city. Who do you pick up to murder? A sorority girl, a prostitute, or a young white runaway?
I'm going to pick up the man that walks in front of my car as I'm backing out of the driveway.
I'm sorry, sir. For the purposes of this question, you got to pick one of the three options.
Whichever one I can hit first.
Please specify, otherwise I'm going to be forced to give you 0 points.
And then you can.
Can I have the options again?
Of course, no. Mr. Disturbing Necrophilia Ned. You've got the options of a sorority girl, a prostitute, or a young, blonde, beautiful, white runaway.
The sorority girl's probably drunk. The prostitute's got somebody watching her. The blonde runaway has a family who probably loves her. I'll take the runaway.
Well, that's a good choice. Not quite as good as the prostitute, because fun thing about prostitutes, the police don't care if you kill them.
Hey, because they're useless.
If they're kind of on the hefty side, you should send them my way. Just,
I don't really see a lot. They don't really go
Twitter
to the pool very often, you know?
Okay, Mr. Minus Two Toes, we got the question for you.
Finally, I get
you
a question.
You are captured and tried for your many, many crimes. How do you try and avoid the death penalty?
Well, I mean, I don't really want to spend any time in jail, but death penalty would be pretty bad in my book. So basically, I'd say I didn't know what I was doing. It's just I had PTSD of having my two toes cut off by, well, I'm not afraid to say it, but... an extremely obese stripper, seriously the size of Canada, could have choked me if she laid on my face. But I digress.
Would you plead insanity?
No, not insanity, because I actually knew what I was doing. Had a lot of experience with these particular strippers before. I know how to get out of their, we'll call it their death grasp. I could do that, but this one, she just, my toes were gone, and it changed everything. I don't admit to actually killing anybody with the garden shears that I cut toes off with. You have no proof, and, just stop asking me questions, and that's all I have to say.
Well, good to know. Let's start with the scoring. We're going to start with minus two toes. You actually did well in that round. You got the full 10 points, but that only brings you to a total of 13. So I'm sorry, my friend. You are disqualified, but at least that means you won't get asked any more questions.
You know, I know your mother's an obese stripper, so you should better give me some more points, sir.
Well, that's okay. I don't love her anyways. Stab her 100 times for me. Anyways, now we're going on to... Okay, well, that's all good. Now we're going on to Flash and Flopper, or whatever
the fuck your name is.
You got 8 points, bringing you to a total of 29. Now we got the Queso Killer. And you did pretty well, too, my friend. You got 9 points, bringing you to 26. Now, we've got Necrophilia Ned. Now, Necrophilia Ned, I get where you were coming from, but that white blonde runaway is white, so someone's going to miss her. So you...
Oh, you totally lost some points there.
I think you lose points. You don't go for the noticeables.
I'm going to redo this so that way you can edit that out.
Do not redo this because if this was a board game, you're reading the rules.
Okay.
if it's a white girl, you lose less points.
You don't get quite as many points as if you had gone for the prostitute. So you only get 6, bringing you up to a total of 31. Now, originally, we're going to have a runoff of our top two America's Next Top Serial Killers, but since it's so close with 26 for the Queso Killer, 29 for the Flaccid Flopper, and 31 for Necrophilia Ned, we have to have runoff between all the people who scored above the minus two toes and horrifyingly bad 13.
You didn't even tell me how many points I had.
13. You did not. Do well,
you know what? That's, that's a lucky number for some.
I have
people.
A question for you, Mr. Announcer, sir.
What is your question?
What if we play Final Jeopardy here and you give us a question?
Everybody's in,
and then I say, two toes. Is it
okay? Well, I'll take this because why the fuck not? Okay, we've got question number five. For all four people.
Everyone's in on this.
Okay,
I mean, this
everyone's
is me,
in.
Kent, not that.
No, everyone's in on this.
Okay.
This is me, CJ. This actually sounds like a better idea than what I had.
I love it when everybody's in.
Yes.
Do we get time to think about it?
That's why.
I'll skip you if you need time. Okay, well, here's the final question. Originally, I'd written, you are the finalist. This question will decide America's next top serial killer. But half of that is still true because minus two toes is not technically a finalist. In order to go down in the history books as an infamous killer, a la Dahmer and Bundy, you must commit a horrific crime of the century. What crime would you commit? Okay, we're going to start with Necrophilia Ned. Are you ready to go there, Ned?
Always. If I had to kill one person and have sex with their dead body, it would have to be the Pope or Oprah.
Oprah.
Okay, well, good to know. As a faithful Roman Catholic, I can't give you the points. So we'll go on now to the Flaccid Flopper. Who would you kill? What crime would you commit?
Perfect crime that I would commit. Are you ready for the... Hey! Adult Swim's over! Get out of the pool! Get out of the pool! Get out of the pool!
Splish, splash.
Okay, well, since he's brutally murdering someone, now we're going to go to the Queso Killer.
Please repeat the question.
Like okay, to, in like order to go down in the history books, Queso Killer, you must commit a horrific crime. What crime would that be?
Well, I'm part of a long line of people that I do. What you need to know is that all of the cheese you've ever consumed, I had a part in it. I came from that blood. All the cheese you've ever consumed has been people that eat bacon.
Okay, well, I gotta cut you off right
down
there, Queso Killer,
cheese.
Because that makes me feel sick. Anyways, now we've got minus two toes. You gotta commit one crime, my friend, and now you are the come behind person. If you win this, no one will have expected it because holy fucking shit, you are bad at this.
What crime
would you commit as a crime of the century?
Yes, I admit that I am not very good at this. But Kent's Queso, the killer, Queso Killer over there.
Cheese?
I'm kind of hungry now, so that might skew my answer a little bit.
Well, who gives a shit?
So, you know, what was the question again? Because I'm thinking about cheese.
Okay, well, you've got to commit a crime of the century, my friend. What crime do you commit? Oh. Who do you kill? Who do you cut the two toes off of? Is it Barack Obama? Is it John Paul II? Even though he's dead, you can still fucking do it. Is it Tony Blair? Because he deserves it. Fuck the English. Anyways, what's your answer?
No, it's actually, I'm going to cut the toes off of Brett Favre. He's a fantastic athlete, and like to eat those toes, and in my mind, I get the athleticism.
They're all toes.
I get the athleticism from the toes.
Do you know what fondue is?
Yeah, it's toes covered in cheese.
Yeah, yeah. You take a little good prick and you prick them and you put them in the fondue cheese.
Yes, in the cheese. And
then you put some bacon in that and then
guys, it's going to drag you down in the pool, guys.
Hey,
Derek, do you think that if we eat too many cheeses, we'll...
Cheese guy.
Oh, okay.
Cheese guy.
Yeah, sorry.
Stop.
Queso.
Pool guy.
Not cheese.
You stop, too. I want to talk to Ned over here. So I have to do a lot with, we'll just say, fat strippers, and you like the dead portion. Thinking that maybe we should just work together.
Looks like we've got a regular Henry Lucas and Otis Tool.
Bring me bodies to have sex with.
Yes, he is a tool, and he uses it.
The bigger the body, the more orifices there can be.
Good to know. So I've been terribly disturbed by this. I'm pretty sure I've created a new duo of horrifying crimes, but I have to give this victory to the Queso Killer.
No. In fact, I'm feeling so proud of this honor that I'm going to start a group of serial killers.
Why are you imitating the character from The Following? You haven't even watched that show.
I am now English, and I am going to recruit you all.
I
to kill everybody in the name of cheese.
I think that's a great idea. I would probably jump in on that too.
There's a pool of cheese.
The name of cheese is perfect because we are from the great state of Wisconsin, home of cheese, home of Dahmer, home of Geek, home of the Badger.
Oh, the Badger's like cheese.
Don't forget about Mr. Lobotomy.
Okay, well, everybody, I think that's about it. We have a winner, and now I'm going to send it back to Kent and Derek.
I win.
Or not.
This has been America's Next Top Serial Killer with our host, Charles Jared.
I kill prostitutes.
And I don't like him that much.
But that's okay, because I have a foot on you, and I could probably brutally slay you.